The Path to Unconditional Love, Chapter 40. Animals are also people. One day, while walking with the teacher in the mountains, I thought about Svetlana's betrayal. I spoke about her a little earlier. I had met this girl at the first retreat. She then violated all possible rules of being in places of power, showed negative emotions, was irritated at any occasion, cursed loudly, threw tantrums, and demanded some special attitude. It was to my surprise when I found out that Svetlana was a capable student. For a while, she followed the sage on the spiritual path. But at one point, her inflated ego took over, and the teacher was forced to dismiss her from himself and from the school. We walked along the mountain track, enjoying the morning coolness and movement. The sun's disk had just appeared in the east, and its rays painted the world in countless shades. Nature woke up from a night's sleep. One only had to stop and listen to hear thousands of sounds. The sound of the wind in the canopy of mountain trees, the joyful twittering of morning birds, the buzzing and chirping of insects, the muffled murmur of a mountain stream. The world around us was huge, multifaceted, and alive. I thought that here even the smallest bug was an important part of the world. Without it, this world would be completely different. Each blade of grass, each tree has its own task, its own purpose. The world of nature is pure and sincere. There are no false attitudes, stereotypes, lies, or treachery. My thoughts returned to Svetlana. Just yesterday, Serena and I were talking about her actions. It blew our minds. How come? How could she go against the teacher, deliberately throwing mud, slandering his name, make up all sorts of nonsense about our school, turn everything upside down? After all, it was not so long ago that she comprehended the wisdom of the great. The teacher left off the narrow path, and we walked across a soft carpet of grass, still wet from the morning dew. Then I finally decided to ask the question that was bothering all of us. How could Svetlana go to the point of betrayal and start all that slander in her blog, gathering the same evil people there who lie and denigrate the school? None of this is new, the teacher replied. Remember that even Judas betrayed Christ. This was done to all great people, to Osho, to Gurdjieff. A traitor is an insignificant, good-for-nothing person who would have lived and died miserable, unknown to anyone. But he longs for glory. But how can he achieve it if he is worthless? And then the forces of evil suggest an idea.
You can become famous if you throw mud at great people. You will go down in history by slandering them. Everyone will know about you. You will amuse your ego.
You mean to say, said Serena, his bark is bigger than his bite? That is right, said the teacher. A traitor in his gray life has nothing to remember except a bright episode when he was with a great person. His life is empty and incompetent. So he begins to do evil. He slanders the great person and throws mud at them. And due to this, other people of weak minds begin to listen to the traitor and believe in their lies, or other similar villains join them in order to also become famous and feel important. Feel that they can slander and denigrate a famous person, not realizing that they are pawns of the forces of evil, whose goal is to turn people away from Christ and similar persons who bring the light of truth through slander and denigration. But they forgot how Judas ended up. He hanged himself, unable to bear the weight of the evil he had done. So, these poor traitors burdened their karma with malice. But this is also in the providence of God. In this way, God separates the fools who believe any lie from the saviors of mankind. A clever person will never believe in this lie and will not follow the traitor, will not shout to Pilate, "Crucify him." They will not go against Christ. Let us pray for the enlightenment of Svetlana and the people whom she had fooled, so that they will turn away from the demons that control them and come to the light of God. We all stood in a circle and said a prayer for the guidance of these lost ones. May the Lord now give them repentance for their sins of slander and bitterness, and bring them to reason and save their sinful souls. How I wanted the words of our prayer to help Svetlana, to give her the opportunity to realize all the dirt under which she was burying herself. After praying, we continued on our way. The teacher led us further into the mountains. We moved steadily up the hill, gradually going deeper into the dense forest of yew and boxwood trees. Here, nature was completely untouched by civilization. There were not any well-trodden tracks, not even the slightest evidence of human presence. "Look," said the teacher, "all trees, birds, and insects are souls, as much as we humans are. They are equal to us in intelligence, but their bodies do not allow their souls to manifest as intelligently as a human being. Although the human body also makes them more stupid and limited than they will be after death. When a person, an animal, or a tree dies, their higher centers, chakras, and third eye turn on, and they all become like angels in their spirituality and intelligence. Therefore, we must treat plants, insects, and animals with respect and love, remembering that they are just like us, but God has given them a different role here on earth. But this role is just as important as the role of a person. It also helps them to gain the necessary experience and spiritualize this profane physical world with their presence. After all, without them, human life on earth would be impossible. Have you read in fairy tales how the main character talks to animals and plants?" The teacher asked. Yes, we have, we replied to the sage. And now I will help you get into this fairy tale, said the teacher. I will temporarily remove the soul block with this body, and you will gain the abilities that the soul gains when it leaves the body. The guru stopped at an old yew tree with a big trunk and a thick, spreading crown, and waved his hands. We all fixed our eyes on the teacher so as not to miss a single word or movement. My soul was filled with joyful anticipation of a real miracle. And then the great sage began to recite mantras. His voice was strong, low, clear, vibrating. The voice invited us to follow it, opening the mysterious veil of habitual perception, pushing its boundaries. And then the miracle began. The world had changed. Rather, the world had always been like this. We just had not had the opportunity to view it, understand, hear, and realize everything that we suddenly realized, felt, and heard at one moment. This was beyond words. I could suddenly hear plants, birds, and insects talking to each other. What I had felt only as a vague intuitive sensation not so long ago now literally overwhelmed me like a rushing, full-flowing river. The world became three-dimensional, and I realized how little I had seen and understood until this moment when my soul was released from the blockages of the human body. I saw that every plant was as much a person as each of us. It thought, felt, and communicated with other plants. Everything was filled with an amazing life. The mountains, the rocks, and the stream, they were all just like us, living creatures with their own thoughts, moods, and emotions. And it became clear to me that many of them were much more spiritual and intelligent than some people. There was no anger, no desire to hurt someone else, no false identity, inflated ego, or layers of social stereotypes. It was an amazing discovery. The world around us was really alive. How I wanted to extend this perception to hear more about what trees said to each other, to hear the chirp of early birds, the thoughts of stones, which looked at the world in their great peace and serenity. But the great sage again waved his hand, and everything disappeared. I and everyone present returned to our normal state. We began to share with each other the wonders we had discovered. Now, said the teacher, we will help nature clean up garbage, make a shelter for homeless animals in the forest, and take care of them. The main thing in your life is to do as much good as possible. Learn to love and sympathize with all living things. Then I realized even more clearly the horror of the traitor's fall. I wished that instead of their slander and malice, they would have gone and cleaned up the garbage, or taken care of poor sick animals, and helped the elderly and children, as the great sage did, how then their soul would be illuminated by the light of love. I was so grateful to the teacher who had given me this light and taught me love, kindness, mercy, and compassion. Later, studying shamanism, I learned how through shamanic rituals, entering a trance, one can overcome the blockages of the body, go to the subtle world, and talk to the souls of trees, stones, rivers, and mountains, see good and evil spirits, and communicate with the dead. In ancient times, when people lived in nature and were not separated from it by a false personality, everyone could see the subtle world and talk to animals. Now, only small children who do not have a false personality can do this. But through shamanism, modern people can gain these powers and abilities. After the teacher gave us the opportunity to feel the world around us as it really is, we simply could not stay away when we saw sick and homeless animals. We were well aware that they all have the same soul as we do. Even a small shivering cat that had been thrown out by its owners simply because they got bored, or it just grew up and stopped being a beautiful kitten. Even a lame stray dog, their souls feel and suffer in the same way as a soul placed in a physical human shell. That is why the teacher's idea of an animal shelter was met with great enthusiasm. We started it without delay. Everyone was eager to contribute by doing what they did the best for the shelter. The brothers from our group, who could, worked with their hands. They arranged spacious enclosures for dogs and cats, made wooden feeders, dog kennels, and climbing walls for cats. Those who had legal knowledge were engaged in making our shelter official. Others began to keep accounts, prepare rations for animals, and purchase feed. Serena ordered a minimum set of medicines for animals and bought the necessary medications, droppers, pills, and took sick dogs and cats to veterinary clinic. I took it upon myself to communicate with people via the internet, no less difficult and responsible duty than anything else. I advertised the shelter on social networks, took photos, told people about our desire to help animals. After the animals started coming to our shelter, I also took care of feeding the pets and regular cleaning of the enclosures, as we all took turns. Gradually, people began to learn about our shelter, which we built right in the forest. We started receiving calls from caring people who really wanted to help a homeless or sick animal, but were not able to take it home for some reason. One cannot help everyone, and many people, even if they wanted to, could not take more than one or two dogs or cats home. We also gave them the opportunity to shelter and heal those who needed it. Gradually, our contacts were found through word of mouth and the internet. Animals were brought to us, or we went to pick them up so that we could quickly take the dog to hospital if necessary. We were glad that there were still people who kept the light of kindness in themselves, who did not harden their souls. They spared no time and brought us the sick animals they found on the street, those who needed care, treatment, and love. Of course, we were also faced with human anger and aggression. It was shocking how many people there were who bullied poor animals, deliberately twisted their paws to make fun of them, injure them, and beat them. We took everyone to the shelter, and even animals that at first glance were goners. For example, we once saved a dog that was in a very serious condition. Some angry and narrow-minded person broke its skull with a shovel, and for a week the dog had been walking like this, slowly rotting alive, until there was a kind soul who decided to help the dog by calling us. As a result, the dog was saved, and it turned out to be very kind, intelligent, and sociable. They often brought emaciated and problematic animals. Once, we received a kitten with one eye, another time, a completely blind, hybrid cat, which the owners had thrown out onto the street, apparently considering it too old and hopeless. There were cats and dogs with diabetes, with broken and twisted legs. We set the animals on their feet, surrounded them with our care. Yes, it was not so easy. It took a lot of patience and daily work. But thanks to the teacher, we always remembered that animals are also people. They are simply enclosed in other bodies. We did everything very sincerely and were very happy when the animals were on the mend. At every moment of time, we felt a huge responsibility and did everything to fulfill it. After all, we, the people, have much more opportunities, and only we can help the tiniest creatures who need treatment, shelter, and simple human love. Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website, www.amazonone.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.